I knew we were blessed, George. Good afternoon. We'll start the afternoon session, and I'll turn the meeting over for the time being to Mr. Griffith to explain how we run our afternoon, our public hearings, which is a little bit different than planned. Mr. Griffith?
Thank you. The procedure we'll follow is as follows. When each application is called, we'll have a representative from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Today it's Mr. Abbott, who will tell council what happened when this when the application was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. He will also tell everyone what recommendation was made by Planning and Zoning Commission, whether it was a recommendation to approve or a recommendation to deny. After Mr. Abbott has given that brief overview, members of council may have some questions that they will ask of him after their questions have been resolved so that they understand what the application is that will be before them. We will then ask the applicant on each application to come forward and present their case. When you come to the speaker stand, before you make any statement, please state your name and your address. It's fine to say what your city and town. We don't have to have detailed address. We just need to establish the identity of each person who is making a statement. After that, go ahead and make whatever statement you wish. If you're a person who is an applicant or representing an applicant, you would state reasons why the applicant would like their application to be approved. If you're a person who has a question or an objection, you would state the reasons why, if you feel it should not be approved, why you believe that. After each side has had their say, first we start with the applicant, then we ask if there's anybody here who has questions, concerns, or protests. After each side is given a chance, then council decides whether to close the record. If they close the record, and if Planning and Zoning has made a recommendation, council can then go ahead and vote on your application if they choose. They can also vote to defer, which would mean they would put off making a decision to a later date. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. If someone at the speaker stand makes a statement you agree with, we would ask that you not show visible or audible signs of support, such as applause or that type of thing. We just need to get the facts on as to what each side is that would be here on any particular application. Does anybody have any questions about the procedure? Okay. Each person who is here on an application, whether you're either for or against, will be given a chance to speak. Mr. Abbott?
The first application is Change of Zone 1664, the application of HKS3 LLC. To amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MRRPC for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro, 100 Sussex County, land lying southeast of Piney Neck Road, also known as Road 336, approximately 400 feet southwest of Hudson Road, which is known as 336A, to be located on 79.3 acres more or less. The Planning Commission held their public hearings on October 9th of this year. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. I'll pass a copy of those down for your review. The application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee. There were comments received from DLDOT, Sussex County Engineering Department. On March 18th of this year, the County Council approved a project to participate in a moderately priced housing unit program. The applicants were present, gave a presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On October 9th, the commission deferred action. On October 23rd, they discussed this application under old business. And Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval for this application based upon information contained in the record and for the following reasons. The proposed MRRPC project meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county because the proposed project is in a development district as established by the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Two, MR zoning is appropriate for the site because medium density development is appropriate in areas where central water and sewer are available In this case, the project is within a county-operated sanitary sewer district, and adequate wastewater capacity is available for the project. Water service will be provided by a publicly regulated water company. The subject property is consistent with the variety of surrounding residential uses, including the town of Dagsboro, the landings of Pepper Creek, Sea Cliffs, Pepper Creek Point, General Green, and others. The project's been accepted into the county's moderately priced housing unit program. The RPC designation is appropriate because the purpose of an RPC is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments and the use of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. In this case, the RPC will be a mix of single-family dwellings, townhouse units, and duplex units with MPHU units scattered throughout the project. And this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of dwelling units shall not exceed 150 units, including 27 MPHU units. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determinations. C, recreational facilities and amenities shall be constructed and open to use by residents of the development within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. These amenities shall be articulated on the master plan and shall include active amenities in the central open space area with space for gathering, sports, games, and other open field uses to benefit all age groups in the development. D, the development shall be served as part of the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer Districts in accordance with the Sussex County Engineering Department requirements. E, the MRRPC shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the location and design of all stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities. The developer and the subsequent homeowners or condo association shall operate the stormwater management facilities in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. H, as proposed by the applicant, there shall be a buffer of at least 50 feet from any wetlands, and the vegetation to be included within the buffer area shall be shown on the master plan for the development. Also, all silt fencing shall be installed on the upland boundary of any wetland buffers. The interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and/or specifications. Street design shall include sidewalks on both sides of all streets and street lighting. The applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design. The applicant shall form a homeowners or condos association to be responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. A school bus stop with parking shall be provided. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district and shall be shown on the final site plan. The location of all moderately priced housing units shall be shown on each of the site plans, including the master plan and phasing plans. The moderately priced housing units shall be coordinated through the Sussex County Office of Community Development. There shall be a total of at least 27 moderately priced housing units within the RPC, and the site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission shall be required for the master plan in each phase of development. There was a motion and a second. It was carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. We've not received any additional correspondence, and I will pass down a copy of the site plan and the exhibit book for your review.
That it?
Do you have any questions, Mr. Abbott? Anyone?
Here, I can look here.
Okay. Is the applicant for HKS3 present today?
You can take that one down if you want, if somebody could just put it up against the wall if you'd like. Yeah, that'd be all right.
Hi, my name is Doug Warner, and this is Matthew Peterson from Element, here representing HKS3 LLC. What we'd like to do is just, Shane had given you a pretty good overview of the project and the presentation we had provided to Planning and Zoning, but we would like to give you an overview, particularly of the design and some of the MPHU, some of the advantages of the MRRPC and this MPHU program. As we outlined, the site is just located just a little bit northeast of Dagsboro, on an AR1 zone parcel in the environmentally sensitive district. The site is 79.3 acres, and it consists of approximately 36.7 acres of wetland on the southern portion of the parcel, forested wetland area. The main reason we're pursuing the MRRPC in this application is because we believe it gives us a real good advantage in the moderately priced housing unit program to offer several layers or several different layers of price points and types of units in the program. And I kind of want to briefly outline that to you. Totally, we have 27 units here, and we have another diagram we'd like to put up that just shows the disbursement of the MPHU units throughout the community. There's 27 units proposed here, which is 18% of the site, which exceeds the 15% required in the MPHU program. We have 5 single-family lots, 4 twin units, 9 townhome units, and then 9 condominium units that are in here as well. And you'll see in your booklet we've included the MPHU submission and the report there. And what we believe that the MRRPC allows us to do is to hit the various types of units and the various types of price points. We have, and I believe there's a table on that exhibit and in your book as well, that outlines the single units are what would be in the Tier A price point for the moderately priced housing unit program, which has a proposed maximum sales price of around $225,000. The townhomes hit the Tier B as well as the twin homes hit the Tier B, with price points at around $176,000 for those units, and there's a total of 13 units there. And then the condominium offerings would hit the Tier C program with a price point of around $122,000. So again, the request for the MRRPC allows us to get that diversity of housing units in here at a diversity of cost as well. In addition to that submission in the booklet there, you also see a couple other reports in there I'd like to highlight. One would be the Environmental Assessment and Public Utility Report, and then the other would be the Subdivision Code Chapter 99-9C items. We'll kind of be addressing them throughout the little presentation here, but wanted to highlight for the record that those are there. The site is currently wooded and farmland right now. As I indicated, it has a pretty good topographical drop-off in the tree line that leads down to the tidal portion of Peppers Creek. It also has a pretty predominant power line running through it as well, and you can see that on this diagram that Matthew will put up here. Running right down through the center of the site there. Okay. As I indicated, the wetlands are about 36.7 acres of forested wetlands. In the booklet, you also see for the record, we've had 2 different wetland delineations performed on the site, both very consistent with one another. Floodplain, there is the 100-year and the 500-year floodplain on site. It is all maintained on the lower portion of the site, nothing in the developable area here. There is close to 53 acres of forested land here, with about 4 acres being removed, primarily on the single-family lots that you'll see in that one little cul-de-sac down at the bottom, and a little bit on the north side as well, which will be fairly limited in removal. Again, we're proposing 150 units. The breakdown of those units are 20 single-family units, 52 townhomes, 24 twin homes, and then 54 condominium stacked flat product in there. The open space for the site is close to 28 acres, 27.8 acres, which is about 75% of the net developable area. So the area that's being developed basically above the bold green there, 75% of that results in open space. So Matthew, maybe you can just walk them through where some of the units are and a little bit of the flow of the design.
You'll see in there, we have a couple, just there's a long green piece here that's kind of a mark of confusion. For a while, that was the only access to the property. So that easement will be there, nothing will happen to it, but it won't be used necessarily for the developable part of this. So the entrance is, again, occupying that road here, in accordance with all the standards, bus shelter, and all that. Real gentle slope into the site, and then kind of just work its way around, ending in two different single-family areas there. Along the way, we've tried to intersperse a lot of different product mix, so not only will the product mix be in there, also the MPG mix. So we think that with that layout, we're going to really attain a very nice community where different people, different income levels, and different housing types will all be kind of centrally located, kind of ending up in an amenity area here, centrally located within walking distance of, I would say, probably 90% of the units. Again, we left a lot of open space in the middle. Haven't, for the most part, backed anybody up to one another. Some of the twin homes are kind of in a circular pattern here. We're going to work through the vegetation on that. Again, the backside of this does drop off fairly significantly. So we've kept all the development on the high side of that, which also saved a number of trees. The 4.6 acres that are cleared would assume that you clear your entire single-family lot. So you wouldn't assume that you're going to try to save as many trees on those lots as possible. So that is kind of a worst-case scenario, if you will. Again, we try to cluster our parts together to keep our units by one another and not really separate necessarily by parking, moving these guys as close to the amenity as possible. So really, in a nutshell, that's the basic walk. We'll discuss the amenity a bit in a moment.
Yeah, the roads being proposed here are proposed as private roads that will be maintained by the HOA. They will be in accordance with the latest requirements of Sussex County Engineering Department. The entrance will be run through DLDOT and reviewed by them and be under their regulations. We are proposing a curb and gutter system here with sidewalks on both sides of the right-of-way. We do have a TIS that has been completed. The preliminary TIS was completed, and we incorporated comments, and the final TIS was submitted back to DLDOT a little earlier this month. We haven't gotten final letters back from them on all the improvement yet, but it's back in their hands. As Matthew indicated, the parking for the single family and many of the twins in the townhomes will be basically through a combination of their driveways and or garages. And that the parking for the stacked product, we have about 10% excess above the required parking per code in there as well. Stormwater management, we've had some preliminary meetings with the Conservation District, and due to the fact that this portion of Peppers Creek is tidal, we're going to be able to get a quantity waiver here for the site, which will hopefully eliminate any large stormwater management ponds. And we'll be able to incorporate more of the green practices that we've all been trying to do in here with some swales. And it'll just be a series of different management practices throughout the site as opposed to one concentrated level of effort there with a big pond. And septic and water, as you had heard, the site is going to be serviced by the Dagsboro-Frankford District. We've had some preliminary discussions with Mike Izzo's group already in location of a common pump station that will be served here, as well as a couple other of the communities around here as well. And then Tidewater Utilities will be the regulated water supply for this site, and there's a letter of intent to provide service here in your booklet as well. recreations that we have proposed here. We've shown a couple different things on there. In this particular image, you see a pool. We are definitely going to have some active and passive recreation throughout the community. The pool is something that we're still debating just a little bit because we want to see what the effect is on the homeowners association, in that we're trying to keep some of the costs down for both the MPHU units as well as the general population in here. And sometimes the cost of maintenance for the pools gets a little bit higher in the HOA. But we're certainly going to have some active recreation, either multi-purpose tennis / basketball courts, and then several different trail systems, particularly on the south side, where we can, to kind of get you down into the creek. And that's something that we're willing to work with DenRec a little bit to see if we can get some utilization of Peppers Creek into the community as well. We have submitted draft HOA documents for the record there. And then I guess finally, the PLUS, this program has been through the PLUS system. We've presented up there. We received comments back. We've addressed those comments. And then I believe Planning and Zoning just received yesterday or the day before the final letter from Connie Holland's group acknowledging her acceptance of the program and our incorporation of her comments into our plan. Matthew, I guess we have one other diagram here that has some surrounding communities. We just wanted to highlight those as well. This, again, I believe is included in your booklet as well, and it just shows a flavor of what's been happening around Dagsboro. And Matthew, maybe you can just rattle off a couple of the other communities there.
Sure. This is the piece we're talking about today, the moorings. Pepper Creek Point is 169 residential units on 84 acres. Seacliff, 282 single family on 148. The Landing to Pepper Creek, 128 single family on 65 acres is there. Coming back more in town, Dagsboro right off of 26 is General Stream, 513 residential units on 116 acres. The Highlands to Pepper Creek, 336 on 36 acres. Those are all multifamily. And then the Village on Pepper Creek, 87 single family lots on 42 acres. That's kind of, you can see sort of surrounding where we are.
Yeah, and really what we think we're able to do with this particular site is kind of, you know, the Highlands is all high-density stuff. The stuff to the east is more single-family. So the moorings being a little bit centrally located among those communities offers a little bit of all those types of dwelling units in there. And that's, again, is the fundamental reason for us going after the MRRPC in this application is to support the MPHU program primarily and get the diversity of housing type and the diversity of cost in there. So with that, I would open it up to any questions or comments.
I had a question. Could you put the first picture board back up? Is the area in the light green, is that wetlands?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So there are no wetlands that come up immediately adjacent to lots?
No, sir.
50-foot is the minimum buffer for any disturbed land.
I understood that. The total number of acres of wetlands is what?
36.7 acres.
Right. Any other questions, gentlemen?
Not Rich, no, not Rich, President. I don't have any. Anybody else have any? Okay. Thank you.
Apparently no further questions. Do you have anything further you'd like to say?
No, again, the situation with the MRRP, you know, we're not looking for this for any increased density. We're looking at it primarily as a good way to serve the MPHU program, and we really like you to consider that kind of in conjunction with the application. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone here who would like to be heard either in support of or in opposition to this application, or is there anyone here who just has a question? One more time, anyone here who has any interest in this matter at all? Let the record show no one is present and or asked to be recognized. So is your pleasure to close the public hearing?
Yes.
Read it.
The public hearing will be closed. There is a form of ordinance, title of an ordinance.
Jim, I got just one question.
Okay.
It talks about the, you know, even though they're not, Shane, I know
with the bonding of the amenities, even though it's not much, you hear that they're looking at, is that, we're doing that in-house?
We're doing that as.
So we don't need to make that as a.
Part of Public Works, yes.
Okay, okay, go ahead, Jim.
And back on the, well, since you opened it up here a minute, the recreation again was, you're just, everything's conceptual at this point? I mean, there's nothing that, in the conditions about, or that the Planning and Zoning Commission is, deal with immediately? I mean, what did you say? Go over that one more time, because I think I heard you say that you were thinking about a pool, but you're not sure, and you're thinking about this, and you're not sure. What are you going to have?
We're going to have some level of active and passive recreation in here. And definitely will be some sort of sports courts, whether it be tennis courts or combination with a basketball court or something to that effect.
In what location? I mean, there is a location.
The location is identified.
This will definitely be our amenity area.
Okay, that is identified. Okay.
Yes. And what we committed to with planning and zoning was that they had final say and final approval with us as to what those amenities were. We needed to propose that to them back as we're trying to get final, if it was to be approved, during the final process, they would have a judgment on what was in there.
So you're going to give them maybe a snapshot of what you'd like, and you're going to see if they want to add to it or.
That's correct. We're going to propose what we think is the amenity package for this community, and it is subject to their review and comment.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What change do they have to do on plan review? I mean, it has to be on that, right?
It would be subject to site plan. Usually the commission stipulates
what they want.
What they're going to show, like a community clubhouse, community center, swimming pool.
Okay. Is there anything of all these conditions that the record, number, is it C, A, B, and C?
See.
It says they shall be constructed open to residents, et cetera, but there's.
They're not saying what it is.
They're not saying what it is. Okay.
It doesn't really. The only thing, because.
Is it possible?
If you read the minutes, you would say.
Yeah, let me just say, is it possible, Shane, that we end up with nothing?
I wouldn't think in this case, because they've got to do.
Mr. Cole.
Any recreational facilities within 2 years.
Something you could consider. Is on.
Well, some of these we know projects get sold.
Absolutely.
What you're saying here today, if there's nothing really in here, mm-hmm. we may end up with nothing. And we don't want.
That's certainly not the intent.
I know
that's
today.
Interpreted
but,
that, right. But all our purpose was here is that if a pool was primarily the pool is the biggest concern in here because it's such a cost driver for the community. Mm-hmm. And that not knowing how quickly this thing builds out, okay, and primarily trying to get MPHU units into it as some of the first units, to burden that mm-hmm. homeowners association with the pool is something that we did not want to do.
All right.
That's really the gist of it.
What were you going to allude to, sir?
If you wanted something put in there about amenities that would not specifically say what the amenities were, but the subject of amenities should be reviewed and approved by the commission, you could add something like this to condition O, which says site plan review by commission shall be required for the master plan in each phase of the proposed development. You could add something like the commission shall consider and specify the amenities to be included in this project.
I think we got to be real careful about mandating amenities. We are trying to create affordable housing here, and if you start mandating expensive amenities.
Now, this is not, wait a minute, Vance, this is not an affordable housing community. There's 27 out of 150. So the emphasis is still on not the affordable or the moderately priced. It's on your typical residential community that we're seeing here. So and then they're proposing residential, I mean a recreation package. I'm just saying it ought to be put in here because as we see, these projects could change hands. That's all. I'm just saying. He says their intention. I'd like to just follow up with something like Jim said, which is still leaves it wide open. But nobody's mandating anything. They've offered it, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's nothing being mandated. I'm just agreeing with him.
It's hard to believe, I know.
No, I guess nothing hard to believe about it. I'm agreeing with him. It looks like Mr. Phillips doesn't want to agree with him.
My point is you would like to see specific.
Didn't say that.
I think that's the implication.
I didn't say that, did I? And I don't think I don't think Jim's wording said anything like that.
Yeah, because so if you
sounds to me like you're putting words into my mouth. We don't want that to be going on here.
I think they just want Mr. both sides want just simply to make sure that something gets done
but it's not real specific about, you know, saying you have to have a clubhouse, you have to have a pool, you know, because I noticed in your minutes you said you may have a pool and the
That's
minutes.
Correct.
And, right, because I wrote that down just to see what you said this time.
That's yeah, dumb, sir. That's all right.
Well, okay.
I just think Jim, it ought to be placed in the conditions, that's all.
Right. Jim, would you like to continue one more time, just what you suggested?
I just said that the commission shall review and approve the recreational amenities to be included.
Okay. And that would be modifying number.
I just added that at the end of O, but that's certainly right. Up to you.
I have just fine. One other thing before we read it. Mr. Dukes, you got anything?
No, I'm sorry. Problem.
Ms. Roger? Okay. Have you seen all the conditions that we're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, then.
Is the part that I read something that would be acceptable to you?
Yeah, we were coming in under the idea that whether it was P&Z or you folks, someone was reviewing our amenity plan before we got final approval anyway.
Well, so if there's nothing in the record, you know, it's kind of like
that's exactly
it's
what
real
we
cool
like.
With us. We're fine with that.
Okay, that's cool. Any other question? Would you like to try to read it this time, Jim?
Sure.
Thanks.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agricultural Residential District to a MR Medium Density Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land in Dagsburg 100 containing 79.30 acres.
Motion, gentlemen.
I make a motion, CZ 1664.
Second.
To move to second that we approve conditional zone change, 1664 with the, let's see, six, I guess that would be the fact. And then the conditions would be A through O, with O being modified, as stated by Mr. Griffin. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance. It's appropriate because the site is in a medium-density development area. And it's close to the town of Dagsboro, and there's some subdivisions that are nearby that are similar. Okay. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes. I agree with the other councilman.
Mr. Rodden?
Yes.
My vote is yes also with the conditions and the findings of the P&Z. Thank
Great.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. The next case will be conditional use 1749. Mr. Abbott?
This is an application of Robin Erthel and Linda Lake to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1 acre more or less, lying at the northeast corner of Holland Glade Road, which is known as Road 271, and Kelly Drive, the entrance to Henlopen Keys subdivision. I passed down the exhibit booklet that the applicant submitted on September 25th. The commission received comments from DelDOT, Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. There were 13 letters of opposition that were read into the record. One of those letters, I think each of you was provided with a copy of today. The applicants were present, gave a presentation. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were 8 people present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearings on October the 9th, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of CU 1749 to consider the conditional use of land for multifamily dwelling structures. 10 units and 18 parking spaces on 1 acre parcel based upon the record and for the following reasons. 1, the property that is subject to this application is not suitable for the type of multifamily development that has been proposed under the conditional use. 2, the proposed 10-unit multifamily project is out of character with the adjoining community. The surrounding properties in the immediate vicinity of the project consist primarily of single-family homes. 3, the proposed density of 10.31 units per acre is not suitable for this 1-acre parcel. and it's AR1 zoning and is out of character for the immediate area. Other projects in the vicinity are approximately 4 units per acre and have an existing zoning, such as medium density residential, general residential, or high density residential that permit such higher density, unlike the AR1 density for this property. And number 4, the county engineering department is opposed to the density proposed, and the county sewer is allocated to only 4 EDUs for this 1 acre parcel. And there was a motion second. It carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be denied for the reasons stated. And that motion carried 5-0. Go ahead, unless you have any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Abbott? Is the applicant here? Please come forward.
Come on down.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If you'd like to state, whoever's going to talk, can state your names for the records. And as Mr. Griffith said, please tell us what you want us to hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name's Robin Erthel, and I live in the Village of Five Points in Lewis, Delaware, and I'm a teacher at Cape and Lopen School District. Okay.
And my name is Lindy Lake Hertrick, and I live in Rehoboth, Delaware, and I'm an assistant principal of an elementary school in Milford. And we actually came today, I'm sure it's probably not normal that you have the applicant speak, but we wanted to give you a little bit of background on this property. About 5 years ago, Robin and I saw this property for sale, and we thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to make this property actually better. If you ever have driven past this property, there is a dilapidated shed on the property and a deteriorating farm home. And since it was an acre, it's a large parcel in comparison to the surrounding developments. In the developments that are right near this property, there is one home per every quarter acre plot. Ours being an acre, we thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to develop this land. So we then went to planning and zoning, and we talked to a couple of people over there, and we were coached. They said, you know, since it is an acre parcel of land, you would have the opportunity to possibly have 10 units on this particular piece of land. By no stretch of the imagination were we ever dreaming of having 10 homes on this property. But they told us to shoot for the stars, and you can always decrease. So that's kind of where we were at the last meeting.
So we walked into the last meeting kind of having met with a few people and making some decisions to ask for the 10, but expecting or maybe anticipating not having ever been through this process, getting offered 4 or 6 and not knowing how the process works. And we knew the hostility of our neighbors and acknowledged to them that we weren't shooting for 10, but that we thought this was how the system worked. And so if we've moved in error, we apologize on that. We talked to our developers appropriately about creating a plan that either worked appropriately as a 10-unit, if possible, or that if 2 units were removed, that it still had the appearance and appropriateness for the area. And it's 4 units, building units, in the acre. They're smaller sized. They're developed at a lower height than the county allows. We considered our neighbors in terms of the aesthetics of the exterior. We considered and talked to our developers about creating a plan that had proposed planning so that it wasn't just a row of Leland cypress that blocked off the neighbors, and that we tried to do what we could to create a buffer that would be appropriate. We'd be willing to landscape at our cost any area that was a buffer between the two or help out any of us, because there's a space that's owned by a certain gentleman off the road but unbuildable. We went through some of these phases with the idea that it made sense, the idea of building clusters of homes together in an area instead of sprawl is an idea. The idea of building in an area where, although we have 4 to an acre near us, that there are developments where there are townhomes rode up, and this might make sense. And we also may be able to get it in at a cost for a small developer. The large developers may not want to look at a project like this. Large developers might not want to bother with an acre, but some of our smaller developers, like Engel or Watts Brothers, this might be something that they could handle, that they could build, and it could be something that was in community and not necessarily outside. So that's where we were coming from. We think that these gentlemen have put together a great display and proposal. And
when were you informed about the capacity of our sewer district, and I believe our engineering department, some of the notes we have in front of us said the design was for 4 EDUs per parcel, and they actually went on to say that there could be potential and significant capacity issues and stuff like that. When were you knowledgeable of that in this whole process?
Planning and zoning? We had a meeting with the gentleman at the sewer department, and that was before we even went and sought engineers. And he said, it's 4
units to the acre.
4 to the acre, but it's 1 acre that you're asking. This is exactly what he said. It's 1 acre that you're asking for. So you're asking for an additional 6 or 2 or 1 unit on 1 acre, not 1 unit per acre for 150 acres. In essence, 150 extra units. Mm-hmm. And I thought that made sense, that we were maybe not asking for 150 extra units, but 2 or 4 or...
Mm-hmm. So you read into that conversation that problem in it?
He said, we will say, as the sewer department, that it's 4. He said, that's what we will do. That's our job. He said, but that's not to say that other people will make decisions outside of what we say, because you are only burdening the system by 1 or 2 or 4 extra units. So we took that, we told our guys that exactly, and we made the decision to move forward based on those conversations. We didn't find out their feedback until the day of planning and zoning.
Okay.
And I think it was through some correspondence.
Well, you're sitting
Matthew
here, you just
Doug.
Got done saying that you were willing. I mean, it's like kind of you came up to bat and you thought you'd get a home run, and you said, well, we'll be satisfied for a triple or a double or a single.
This is
our engineering department has recommended, see, if everybody asked for more, you know, units, we'd have problems, right? Anyway,
absolutely.
They've recommended 4 units. Are you satisfied with 4 units?
Absolutely.
If that's your decision, we will take 4 units. I mean...
I'm just trying to find, where you are on your flexibility. So, okay.
They're laughing.
So you've gone from 10 to 4.
Okay. Are we doing something wrong?
You're too well educated to be too naive. Now, come on. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, that's okay. So 4 is a number that I've heard you say you can agree to.
It's like an auction, right, John?
Sounds like it.
Would you be happier with 6?
Absolutely.
Would you be happier with 10?
I don't think we would be happier with 10.
I don't think we would be, actually.
Okay.
And I think that any developer that came through probably would have a hard time putting 10 in there.
Mm-hmm. I believe they probably would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Doug and Matthew are going to take over and present the proposal as it was presented.
They're going to give us a scoop on it, right?
They're going to
now
give you
we got the history, right?
They're going to give you fire trucks and bus stops.
Well, let me just maybe point out that if you're willing for 4, and there is testimony that supports 4 from county agency, maybe these gentlemen, instead of making a presentation on 10, see, we have to make our decisions based on the presentation, right? So maybe you might want to huddle real quick and say if they want to make it more of a 4 unit, or as Mr. Phillips said, 6 or whatever. But anyway, I'm just saying 4 is one number that has got some testimony that agrees to it. So
it's going to sort of be hard for them to do, come up with a design in 30 seconds.
They get the
No, these guys are pretty smart. But
I think
the presentation can be done. They're going to make a presentation on 10 units. That's how we got to make it.
That's what before.
I'm just trying to help. If you don't want to help, that's fine.
I appreciate the help.
I agree with you, Mr. Cole.
There is potentially a way to present this by removing 3-unit buildings or by removing 2-unit buildings. It sets itself up that way. So, you know, if what you're telling us across the board...
Well, nobody's telling you anything yet right now.
Well, the question, you've got 4 units on there, 4 buildings. Two of them have 3 units and 2 have 2 units.
Right.
So it sounds like it's just a matter of what we take away.
We'll
split the difference and we'll
let's
go
let, let's let the guys down
yeah,
here talk to you, you know,
well,
okay?
You give us a minute.
They've pretty well said we're the deal anyway, so, okay? Come on, guys. And you can also tell us who you are one more time, please.
Good luck. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Quickly, can you redesign?
That's right.
Yeah, again, Doug Warner and Matthew Peterson from Element. As our clients outlined, you know, going into this, what we tried to do on this parcel was put together the best architectural and land plan to accomplish 10 units was the set, you know, what we set out to do. With the mindset that it could be reduced in different units if possible, either through buildings or, you know, units in buildings or elimination of buildings or what have you, okay? You know, and looking at the parcel, some of the other things that came up, and you'll notice some of the information in your booklet is the site is surrounded by MR zoning. In the latest comprehensive plan, this is becoming a level three investment, you know, area in the comprehensive plan, and is also outlined as a mixed residential classification for the future land use map. So, you know, as we're looking around the area and what was happening around the area, along with, you know, one of the big sites around here, I believe, is Canal Point, I think, or Canal Landing, I forget which one it exactly is. The idea of piggybacking along with that with some multifamily in here as opposed to just another single family, you know, on a couple different lots was the mindset in going forward. So what we've done is basically have it's pretty much a one-acre parcel. It's a square parcel. And Matthew, maybe just take a little bit through what the design process was.
So again, we kind of set out to go with a little bit, as they indicated, it's a lesser height. It's a 35-foot cap as opposed to 42. So we tried to come up with some smaller single-family-looking multifamily buildings. So we did a couple real quick renderings, this one being from Holland Glade Road, showing some of the existing vegetation in the background, which is not on the property, and then kind of showing what these units would look like, showing some of the vegetation that's proposed, and then also the view from Kelly Drive, which would be the rear of this building and the side of that. So we just kind of showed somewhat, you know, residential scale of architecture and what that would kind of flesh out to look like. So again, as Doug said, looking at our BRLs, setting those down with the setbacks off of Howling Glade Road, off the adjacent parcels here in the rear, we kind of huddled together these 10 units. All of the, from a fire marshal perspective, everything meets turning radiuses and those types of things. Parking obviously is either in front of the garages or within the garages. We faced all the garage doors inward, so those weren't kind of visible from any of the surrounding areas there. Really, that's the gist of it. If we pull back 40 feet off of Holland Glade Road, we're looking at putting underground stormwater in this area up front. And then again, we kind of showed some landscaping around as well.
Right. The proposed site, the parking, everything is proposed to be privately maintained. We would have a DLDOT approved entrance out front. The information we've gotten back from DLDOT is that the additional 10 units in here wouldn't change the level of service on Holland Glade Road. There was no requirements for a traffic impact study, there no requirements for PLUS or anything to that effect with this proposed small community. Stormwater management, as we indicated, would be as great. It's good soils for infiltration. That was based on the limited engineering that we've done on it. We believe that will be the best management practice there. The biggest issue, I guess, we did find out in a little bit more detail from county engineering 2 weeks ago about, you know, they had given us, hey, we're going to give you four, and that was about the extent of the letter, and that was the letter that was provided in the booklet. So right. The detailed information that we all received was just a couple of weeks ago. And with the potential to get above the units, you know, our client's willing to investigate what the cost is to implement that. And we'll have to run those numbers and see if it's cost effective for them to.
Might be scary.
Might be. But they're willing to at least look at that if the, you know, if anything above four was awarded to them in this process. Water, another question that came up, the water for this site was proposed to be a community well servicing all of the units. Whether that be exactly one well or two wells is to be determined at this point in time. We have not had any dialogue with the designers yet on that, and we don't know if the existing well can be utilized, but there's no intent to provide 10 individual wells on this site to service this community. It would be a community system running off of a limited number of wells.
There isn't any private water companies on that street?
Not the
well. I would just put a well in down by the outlets, but that, I think it's for their own use, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. The MR subdivision next door is on individual wells?
I don't know that for sure, but when we talked to both Tidewater and Artesian, there was
been servicing.
No.
All right.
And they may be in the near future, I'm not sure, but at this time, in terms of this proposal, it was going to be a community well, on-site community well. The site has some pretty good location to several amenities. You know, the Junction Breakwater Trail is right down the street from here, which gives good pedestrian and bicycle access to Rehoboth and then over into Lewis, which, again, supporting the multifamily approach. You know, for the record, we have included a 99 2022-9C letter in the report here addressing this, as well as an environmental assessment and public facilities report. You know, we believe, and I think we do. Do we have a surrounding areas map on this one? I'm not sure. It's certainly included in your booklet.
Right.
That there are condominiums around here. There's multifamily units around here. It does get somewhat distorted when you look at the density per acre on this. Mr. Johnson at Planning and Zoning had asked us this question, was that, you know, the site's only 1 acre, so 10 units is 10 units per acre. But if you look at cluster developments of multifamily housing around there and you take any given acre where the homes are, you're going to see a high density in that particular acre. You may not see it over the 500 acres, but in any particular acre of multifamily housing, you're going to see 4 or 5 buildings clustered together. And we felt as though that this particular design kind of fit that mold of what was happening around Rehoboth.
Closest such development to this is where?
Is, well, there's several in the area.
On this road nearby?
If you can see right here, Mr. Cole.
Right.
That's Canal Point.
Canal Point, if you basically were to go south or head toward Rehoboth, you know, Route 1 off of here.
Right, you got to go off and get on another road.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right, I understand
right.
that. Right.
And then and the other ones we had pointed out, there's the Tides that's right off of Route 1 there. There's the new one that where the old Ames used to be, which is...
Yeah, but that was all commercial. Yeah, that was all commercial
yes.
land. Okay, right.
That's
right.
correct.
Right, but it did on this road back in that section, there's right. not much like...
Not on Holland Grade right. Road specifically, no,
it's
sir.
It's all single family pretty much.
Right.
And that's the reason for the aesthetic. You know, in the original application, we had outlined to keep maintaining the 42-foot height restriction, but during planning and zoning, we did propose a condition on ourselves to limit that to 35 feet to get more of a single-family look in the buildings.
So lesser units would be lesser required parking, right? More
yeah,
more,
this site
more
is
pervious area and everything like that?
That's correct. This correct. Site was actually laid out before the latest parking regulations came in. It's laid out at 3 parking per unit. Mm-hmm. So as we were to go to final, even under this plan, it would be reduced impervious surface here anyway.
Any so, other questions, John? No? No? You got something now? Yeah.
I've got the ordinance whenever you're ready.
Thank you, pardon. Okay, well, we're still got to ask. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. I'll open up the floor. Anybody in favor of this application? If anybody's opposed, please come forward.
Take your turn.
Yep. Come on down.
Pick it up.
Line up.
Name and address.
You just, as before, you state your name and where you're from.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Frank Starr, and I live at 2 Stephanie Court, Rehoboth Beach, which is in the development of Henlopen Keys, which is on a corner just opposite of the proposed site. And I have a prepared letter that I'd like to read and then submit for the record. And also 2 letters that have been hand-delivered by other residents in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
I'm opposed to this proposed development of 10 townhouses, or whatever the number turns out to be, at the corner of Holland Glade and Kelly Drive. You heard the reasons that came up from planning and zoning. The property isn't suitable for multifamily dwellings. The townhouse, the 10 townhouse proposal, which is the plan submitted, exceeds the recommended density. The sewer system is not suitable, and the townhouses do not fit within the character of the development. And I took some pictures that I'll submit of just houses right in the immediate area. There are approximately 27 houses in Henlopen Keys. All but 5 or 6 are actually not only, they're all single family, and all but 5 or 6 are actually single story homes. There are only about 5 or 6 houses that are 2-story homes. So I assume it's a 3-story. They say 35 feet. I believe that's 2 living floors and underground parking. Certainly doesn't fit within the character of the existing houses in the area. In addition to that, and I want to really dwell on this point, I want to raise the issue of domestic water. It's being punched around here kind of like a tennis ball. The plans as submitted do call for 10 individual wells. There was no public water supply to Henlopen Keys. The nearest one is across the street. I believe that's Tidewater. Does not service our area. Every home in Henlopen Keys and the surrounding neighborhood is on their own individual well. If you take 10 new units, or whatever the number is, and impose in a concentrated area, I and all of the residents there have a very serious concern that you're going to drain down the water table. We already have had one resident who's had to replace their well because it wasn't deep enough. The water table has dropped to the point where they had to replace their, or dig their well deeper and replace the pump. We have another resident who I think is going to speak in a few minutes, who in the summertime the table drops and their water supply trickles. Okay, so I think we're on a marginal basis for domestic water in this area, and I think an awful lot of work needs to be done to see if there's an adequate supply underneath the ground. We don't know whether everyone's coming out of one little pocket or one giant pocket or 10 individual pockets, and whether you drill one well, four wells, or 10 wells, you're still drawing the same amount of water out of the ground. I don't care how many holes it comes through, the same amount of water is going to come up out of the ground for the people there. And I believe there's an ordinance in Sussex County that says for townhouses, each utility has to be individually supplied to each townhouse. I can't cite that number, but I've read it. Okay, I'd be glad to research that for you. I don't think there's the concept of a group utility for townhouses. I could be wrong, but I'll check that. Okay. So if the if council does approve this, we would ask for protection from the current residents for our water supply.
We can't do that, yeah.
Well, that's something that has to be considered. You know, the impact on the current residents of a new four or 10-unit dwelling place taking a lot of water out of the ground. And then I also have just an ad hoc comment. It's initially proposed at 10 units, and I think, and it sounds to me like the present owners are going to try to kind of flip this to a developer at some point to build something. And at the current price of the lot, I think it's $700,000+, that works out to about $70,000 per building unit, which is probably okay. If you put four units, you've increased the cost to almost $200,000 just for the land for a townhouse. Well, what developer is going to come in and pay $200,000 just for the land?
That's not our problem.
That's not your problem. Okay. But what I see is at some point a developer buying this and coming back and saying, well, I've gotten this far. I bought the land. I need your help to build more units, and we're back to the 10 units again. Okay. So for those and other reasons, I stand opposed to the
Would you have, if you see that layout, they got four buildings on there, and engineering department, and like I said, some other testimony said that four units the county sewer could handle. If they had four buildings like that, less parking, do you have opposition to that?
Well, I think, yes, I do, mainly because of the water supply. I'm very concerned with that.
Unless the Department of Natural Resources sends us or something says there's a water supply problem, we probably, or if there's evidence that there is.
There is some evidence there is. The water table has already dropped. We have one resident that almost runs out of water in the summer.
It does depend on how deep the well is and something, what aquifer they're in, if they're confined or unconfined.
And I think all that needs to be studied before.
Well, I think, you know, again, we don't hand out permits, as George said. You know.
And the property is for sale currently, right?
Yes, it is.
Which does lead to you one to believe that it is, it's going to be for sale after this if they get whatever approval possible.
Right.
But my concern is if we have an acre there, what do you think they should be able to build there? It is zoned AR right now, but if they probably wanted to change it to MR, which would permit four units to the acre because the adjoining property is MR, so it's already established that there is an MR in the area. Would you, as a neighbor, be concerned about changing it to MR, which would permit four single-family homes?
Well, based on the history of that property, yes, I would. There's an awful lot of noise that's come out of that property. I realize that's not the four townhouses that may be there someday, but all of a sudden,
there's nothing on it but a shed.
Pardon me?
There's nothing on it but a shed.
There has been quite an activity of rental people in there over the last 4 or 5 years with rock guitars all night long.
In the shed?
No, in the house.
It's actually split in two lots, if I'm not mistaken.
This is a picture of the current property. There's an old farmhouse on there. And all of us have suffered through the all-night noise of rock guitars and domestic fights. I realize that's not the townhouse people that
might
move in
there. Right, obviously that would all disappear in this type of development.
Right, but you would have a concentration of four or five or six or 10 families right on one corner. That generates an awful lot of noise. The only noise we have now are the cows. And I realize we can't play closed gate here.
But what I'm pointing out is an MR district would permit four homes, right, single-family homes, similar to where you live. So you would even oppose that yourself?
Well, I would be very concerned about the groundwater supply. And really, that's a focal point for me. I don't want to sit there out of water because what choice would I have?
How deep is your well, sir?
110 feet.
That's not bad. Don't do that, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd like to submit my letter and pictures.
You can, why don't you give it to Mr. Abbott, please? And we'll look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The other two letters, did you want these letters read so they're still sealed?
Well, this, I guess we can give it to Shane. You can put
Well, somebody ought to read them into the record.
All right, why don't you open those bad boys up and we'll take somebody else in, Jordan. Please come up, sir. Before I forget, Shane, you do have these two letters, I assume, and they are part of the record. Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Kennedy. I live on Kelly Drive.
Where is Kelly Drive, sir?
Kelly Drive is off of Holland Glade Road. It's we're like three or four houses down from this property.
Okay.
I'd just like to make a couple of comments about what was said, that they were talking about multifamily homes along Route 1, and to say that that is zoned commercial.
Right.
And also that mentioned at Canal Point. The multifamily homes at Canal Point did not increase the allowed density but create open space in the residential planned community and was not allowed adjacent to Hinlope and Keys when they were doing that.
Right.
Those are a couple of points I just wanted to make.
Okay.
So I am opposed to.
You're opposed to the
what I'm going to ask, I'm going to try to ask everybody, are you opposed to four single family homes on that parcel?
Yeah, I'm opposed to it. Yeah.
That also, okay.
Because I don't think it's in keeping with the Hinlope and Keys community, the single family home.
Well, I mean, would four single family homes, it's zoned MR and you're allowed four units to the acre in an MR district. So the calculation is if you have an acre, they could put four units if it was MR. So
I'm opposed.
It would be just like your community. I mean, okay, you wouldn't.
I am opposed because I'm also concerned about the water issue.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, gentlemen. Mike, you and Mabel can wait to the end if you don't mind, okay?
I'll let the neighbors through and then we'll get up.
Okay, thank you.
My name's Sherry Kincaid and I live at 7 Kelly Drive, which is two houses behind here. I'm probably the one they're speaking of with a little bit of water trouble. And my understanding is our side of the road is the city of Rehoboth. If my well runs dry, I can be hooked into the city of Rehoboth at my cost, but I don't think I could afford that. My lot's a half an acre lot. And if they wanted to put in two homes on a half acre apiece, I have no problem with that. Zoning it multi-residential, I think, especially knowing this is for sale, that this is all a concept that they could turn around and sell and we get something totally different in the end. So I just disagree because of the, it not, I would prefer it be in a single family residential neighborhood.
Okay. Would you oppose, would you oppose if they had four single family homes on this acre, which is the same as the
MR? Would that make it a multi-residential?
No, that would be four single detached homes. Now, sometimes they've been able to put four single-family homes on common ground, like under a condominium, so that somebody takes care of the land for them. But still, a single-family home is a detached single-family home.
Be tough to do.
Would you have opposition to four single-family homes?
If I knew that's what it was going to be.
Under a conditional use, if that's all we give them, that's all we give them. Yeah, I mean, it can.
I don't know what it's going to do. I guess I need to be opposed because of the water factor. Okay. It worries me.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Vivian Fisher. I live at 18879 Holland Glade Road. My family and us did sell part of the property on Holland Glade Road that is now state park land. This view for their elevation of the houses in proportion, view from Kelly Drive, the backdrop is currently my mother's trees
right
on a piece of property containing 5 acres, roughly thereabouts. So if we came and asked for 50,000 units, would that maybe go fly real well?
50,000.
I'm sorry, 50 units.
Phew, scaring
I'm starting to think dollar signs, excuse me.
So you're saying this would set a precedent?
Yeah, it would set a precedent.
Yes, it would.
I know TV programs, the Extreme Makeover, it's a popular program, but I don't think this Extreme Makeover is necessary for the neighborhood. And I am firmly opposed to allowing 10 units on a little corner.
Would you be opposed to four single family homes on that corner?
I would not be quite as objectionable, but I would be dismayed.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, would you like to speak?
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Fraser, address 18909 Holland Glade Road. The property in question does adjoin my property. And if we took those trees, a lot of them away, and at the other meeting, planning and zoning, there was a portion of trees put in the picture, which is really, and I'm not speaking for Jay Futcher of Penelope and Keys, but part of that is owned by him. As I say, I'm not speaking for him. I'm trying to speak for myself. So anyway, adjacent to my 5 acres that my home is on, I have 8 more acres in the back that is all woodland.
Okay.
Adjacent to this property in question is the farmland that I was born and raised on. We sold the 199 acres to the state of Delaware for open space. And we hear a lot about the Breakwater Junction, and part of that was put on the land that we sold. So I object to the 10 units with the 30 to 36 spaces. So, as I say, I object to the CU 1749. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, ma'am. Come on down, Mike.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Tyler. I live in Lewis, and I'm president of Citizens Coalition. George, you keep asking about 4 units. That's still an assault on the environmentally sensitive district, and I don't think that's appropriate to ask that question. It's zoned for 2 units, and that's where we ought to be, 2 units. Mm-hmm. But when we were requested by Pat Fraser, who's been, as you know, a longtime resident, to consider the conditional use of land on AR1, we submitted testimony asking planning and zoning to deny the application as presented, and as you're aware, they denied it. But we oppose this application not only because of their recommendation and not only because of the water, because water is a serious concern among us all. Even those of us who are served by cities know that, you know, our wellhead protection has to take place or our wells are going to run dry. But I want to bring this to your attention, and this is what was cited to planning and zoning. According to Sussex County Ordinance Article 24, Conditional Uses, paragraph 115.71, purpose. Such uses are, and I'm quoting, generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. But because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan and possible impact, not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, read environmentally sensitive district, require the exercise of planning judgment and site plan. I don't think this shows any good judgment as far as site planning, as far as where it's located. I think what you've heard, and I don't need to repeat it, about the character of the neighborhood, I've gone down that road many times, and, you know, it's just a quiet, beautiful little country road, and there are single homes there. And if you want to ask about 4 units per acre, then that doesn't belong here because it's not...
Mike, no, the reason...
No, listen, wait a minute, let me finish. It doesn't belong here because that is not a conditional use request. That's a change of zone, so they got to go back to the drawing board.
The reason I ask, because the adjoining property is zoned MR. So to say MR is not out of character on this road. And my point was, so many were concerned about the multifamily, and I can understand that. It is out of character, takes up more parking, everything else. So I was just trying to find out how opposed they are, if they're still even opposed to 4 single-family homes, which is equivalent to
the MR district, right, which is directly next door. So
I mean, well, if I shoot you once or if I shoot you four times, which one would you prefer?
I'd rather have four times.
Yeah.
I'd know I knew I was dead then.
You'd take four?
Well, there'd be one there. He'd shoot once. All the four of them.
No, I don't think so.
Dale would probably miss. Cross-eyed at halftime.
Well, I'm not going to read the whole letter because basically it was read from the public record. I could not be there. I had another commitment that evening. You know, we realize that it can be developed at the current rate of 2 per acre, and I think that would be acceptable to Mrs. Fraser and the folks who live on Holland Glade. Mrs. Fraser's lived there for nearly 4 generations, and certainly she has a right to her property rights, which, you know, try to maintain the character of her community. So I just ask that you use good judgment regarding this community, this application. I'll give this to Shane.
Please.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Mabel. Good afternoon, Mabel.
Hi. I am Mabel Granke, and I live in Rehoboth Beach, but I continue to be concerned about all of our county, and particularly coastal Sussex. And one thing that I think, I certainly agree with what has preceded me in terms, and I won't repeat that, but one thing I would ask you all to look at very carefully is sewer capacity. And the reason is I am very well aware that I was told by the engineering department when the land trust came before to get our conditional use zoning in West Rehoboth that sewer capacity was getting very iffy. And one very particular remark was made that the dear old 140-some units that have been built on the old Ames property, literally, as far as the engineering department was concerned, had sucked up just about all of the sewer capacity in that area of Route 1. And this would certainly include Holland Glade Road. So I think that this is something that has to be paid very particular attention to. And that their estimate was that any additional sewer capacity that was going to be asked for over and above what was judged appropriate for the parcel was going to have to require some very expensive installation. And so I think this has to be factored in as well. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, definitely West Rehoboth was, the transmission lines when they put it in were undersized and some of those kind of things, and through the upgrades they have done better, but it was the first sewer district, if I'm not mistaken, and they were trying to cut costs. Is there anybody else that is either for or against the project? Okay. Hang on a minute. First of all, nothing else? We'll close.
Well, let me just. There was the opposition alluded to Mr. Jones'
yes.
Well issues, and I still didn't, or water capacity issues, and I still didn't get any real evidence. Is there anybody that is experienced? Is there any testimony that says there is actually some well problems other than perceived well problems? That's right. That was the issue. I didn't really hear any. I mean, we had some testimony a couple of years back from the well guys or the water purveyors, and they said there was, yeah, you want to come up? Because it's hard for us to, you know, ask even DNREC to look into this if we don't have any reason to.
All right, I can cite 3 examples to answer your question. One would be the Renault property. They're the ones that had to change their well pump, lower it, because the water table had dropped because of, I guess, draw on the groundwater supply from wherever sources.
Is that the young lady who spoke here?
No, that's okay. Sherry Kincaid. I know their water drops right off to almost a trickle in the summer. They have to conserve water.
Right.
And, in fact, I'm right in the middle of correcting. Okay. We built our house in 2000. I've had the water tested about every 18 months. And right up until the last test, it's been perfectly pure. This time they found bacteria. And I said, what's that? What possible, what could cause that? All of a sudden I have bacteria. Only the wife and I are living there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, one possibility, and the Department of Public Health told me this, that one possibility is that the water table is drawing down and things that are in the ground are seeping down into the groundwater supply. So I've had to chlorinate my well. In fact, we just finished it this morning,
right.
And I now have to go back and have it retested. So there's something going on with groundwater. We have one person who had changed their well, another one who has a trickle
supply. Could be groundwater, too.
And I have a quality issue.
Do you happen to know the, and we'll just back up because I asked you, yours was, you said 110 feet. The people that you are referring to, the depth, I mean, are they, you know, 80-foot wells, you know?
I don't know what the Renault's depth was. I know they had to change it.
I'm 90 foot.
90 okay. feet.
And you have a problem?
Sure. I do have a problem.
Okay.
The last couple years, when they...
Well, you have to... I hate to, make it come up, but that's the rules of the game.
Yep, okay.
So this is some firsthand
experience. In the last couple years, as when they put in the town, there's townhomes around the corner from us and a new development that backs up to our development. And over the last couple years, in the summer, it seems like more, my water drops off when I, you know, when you have the spigot on, you don't have as hard a force and everything. And I kind of baby it. When I'm trying to water the flowers, I have to be careful. I don't water as much.
Have you had anybody out to come out and look at your well?
I haven't.
Okay.
You checked your water pump.
Yeah, I've been under the house. I mean, I haven't. My husband has. The water pump's fine. Mm-hmm. It's working fine.
Okay.
And I've also, over past years when I've had my water checked, there's been, I've lived there 25 years. And we have had bacteria show up in our water. We get it tested every couple years over at the,
there's a lot of things
here at the State Department. So I don't know what causes that, but it does.
Over top
and we've
well
had to treat it.
Yeah. I got my water operator's license, so I can get it.
No. I'll let you take deal with the water issues. Your next
I didn't know you got any more questions.
I just wanted to see if we had any testimony about water,
right.
Well water problems, and if it was something that, if there was any kind of consensus, to ask DNREC if they have any concerns or if they have any records or something like that. But I
mean, you can close the record, and if we close the record, we have or leave it open for something.
If that's an issue.
Ms. Phillips, you got any concern?
Nope.
Okay. Mr. Dukes?
No.
Mr. Rogers?
No. Here we go.
Okay. So I guess the consensus is to close the public here. Okay. Could you read the title, Mr.?
Be glad to. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures 10 to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100 Sussex County containing 1 acre more or less.
Well, they were asking CU from with an AR in an AR1. So we could not limit the number of units.
Yes, we can. No, it's just conditional.
It's conditional use. Conditional
use, we could.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Gentlemen, you have the number and the title in front of you. Need a motion?
Well, let me make a motion that we cut the number of units in half to no more than 5 units in this application. I don't know if I'll get a second, but I've got to start with something. By doing that, they can continue to utilize the current design with one of the buildings housing 3 units and the other building housing 2 units without too much disruption of the design.
The only problem with that, you're exceeding the capacity of the sewer.
We do have serious problems there, as Mr. Jones alluded to. We have got real
transmission problems are huge.
And not if you do something here, the trouble is they sometimes have to tear up in so many other locations, and it's.
I know they designed the sewer for 40 units per acre, but you have to admit, Mr. Duke, there's lots of land around there that
they're at capacity problems.
Taken off.
I totally agree, but you know.
Stango is a huge piece of huge chunk of land on that, but.
Even with that taken off the table, it was still capacity problems.
Okay, Mr. Phillips has a motion on the floor. Is there a second to any of that? There is no second.
Make a motion to approve the ordinance.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'd rather not second that and maybe look at just doing the 4 units per acre. There isn't a second for that.
Is there a second to approve conditional use 1749?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. There is a second. It's been moved and seconded. We approve conditional use 1749. And before we vote, Your Worship, just maybe we all, our motions are always in a positive.
And, in the affirmative.
That's what it does say. Right. So, Mr. Cole.
Wait, question.
Oh, no, sir.
Question, please.
Well, you have to go down. You have to start voting. And
you didn't ask for discussion after the second. I think there is a point that we can discuss.
I'll question on motion. Yeah.
Okay, go
the
ahead.
The question is, I guess we don't have an attorney. If this is voted down, is at the end of it, or at that point, can we revisit the density?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We're it. This is the whole nine yards. I mean, when we make a decision, and if it goes in favor, that's the favor. If we deny it, then it's denied.
So it's either 10 or nothing.
Yeah.
Unless the motion is reversed, unless whoever made the second in the motion pulls it back and then make another motion.
Absolutely. A motion and a second to approve conditional use 1749. And if nobody's going to withdraw, Mr. Cole, you're up.
I agree with the Planning and Zoning's recommendation of denial based on the, because again, we're looking at the 10 units. The department has recommended that it will exceed the sewer capacity. And we are all very knowledgeable from our engineering department's reports that there is serious capacity problems in this area. Also, I think one of the opposition stated that they have adjoining lands also of more than an acre, and this could set a precedent for other adjoining properties on this road that has basically been maintained at a single-family home type of development. So my vote will be no, because it's out of character with the neighborhood. It exceeds the engineering department's calculations, and the Planning and Zoning Commission's comments, I'll incorporate those two.
Mr. Phillips.
Echoing Mr. Cole's comments, I vote no.
Mr. Dukes.
This thing took a strange twist quickly, and I really thought, listening to the rest of the councilman, that there was going to be a motion come forward to do four, and then five, and that failed. And then I thought four would come forward, and it didn't. I'd be honest with you, I would support four, but the way that it turned out, the way the motion was made and seconded, it's either vote for 10 or nothing, so my vote is no.
Mr. Rogers.
Same reasons, no.
My vote is no also, with the four reasons that is done with P&Z, motion denied.
Is there any sentiment among the council to allow them to have an expedited reapplication for a MR change of zone?
I don't think there's any overpowering reasons.
Because there seemed to be a consensus that four units was appropriate per the engineering department and nearby communities. Or do they go back into the 18-month line?
I think this could set a bad precedent. If you had a reason,
give us
a reason why we should expedite it. One time we had a reason because there was some kind of
legal issues going on.
We had age of somebody one time and things like that.
Some misinformation that was given to them at planning and zoning's application. I believe
in writing.
You'd have to make a motion, Mr. Phillips. We just have to find out.
Well, will you second it? Last motion I made for five, you didn't second it. then you came back and said,
he might not be teaming up with you too quick.
Yeah.
I got people waiting to get their applications heard that are complaining because we're expediting too much. So anyway, you go ahead.
It's not that much, okay. George, but
not that it would pass in the future, but I do believe that there was some misinformation that was provided the applicant. I do believe that they should be given the opportunity to come back with a revised application, and for that reason I will make a motion that if they decide to come back, they are allowed to be expedited so that their hearing can be held sooner than later.
Would that be two or three months?
No more than 3 to 4, just by advertising dates and what's already been scheduled.
And there's no guarantee that you're going to get anything next time. It might be a waste of your money, but it is something. It seems like there was a consensus for four units. Unfortunately, that motion was not allowed to be made. You got a motion and a second, Mr. President.
We got it. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote no. I don't see any hardship established here that we should be giving an extension just because there's some perceived consensus and everything. And I think that we might be leading them down the wrong path. I think that, you know, a change of zone is probably more appropriate here to an MR, to it, which is the adjoining properties that would then increase the density.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes, because I believe that they're genuine in their testimony that misinformation may have been provided at the point of application.
Okay. Mr. Dukes?
You got to bear in mind, even though you probably you can have the choice to be expedited if you get three votes on this motion, that we three amigos won't be here, so you'll be dealing with three new ones. But my vote would be yes on this motion.
Mr. Rogers?
My vote is no. I don't think the end result will change.
My vote is no also. Okay. Motion denied.
Thank you. We tried.
Make that two amigos. One amigo just hightailed it.